and major parts supplier Delphi announced plans to offer buyouts to more than 125,000 hourly workers under an agreement with the United Auto Workers. And that buyout is being described as one of the largest ever. I'm Mark Shearer, and you're listening to Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by the members of the National Association of Realtors. Thinking about buying or selling a home? Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics, so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Mom just turned 82. I really worry about her living alone.
My mom's 74. This is the first year she's going to be on her own. It's pretty scary.
My dad's 88. He's in great shape, but I still need to check on him several times a day.
Each year, more and more older Americans choose to maintain their independence and live alone. But if you're a child of one of them, you worry. What would happen if they became ill, got injured, or fell, and were unable to reach a phone? The answer is a small pendant from Alert USA. This two-way personal emergency response system is meant for those times when help is needed, but the phone is out of reach. The wearer simply presses the pendant, alerting our monitoring station, who then summons help to their residents. Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-401-8833. That's 1-800-401-8833. Act now and receive a smoke detector with free 24-hour monitoring when you subscribe. 1-800-401-8833.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
This is Vivionik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartmann.
And greetings, my friends. Coming up on today's program, Swami Vivekananda will be here in the third hour with the funnies. Ned Lamont is going to be joining us in the second hour of our program to discuss his Senate campaign in Connecticut against Joe Lieberman. That and your calls on today's program. But first, Chris Edwards is with us. He's the director of tax policy studies at the Cato Institute, cato.org, their website. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Chris. You folks are the Cato Institute are putting together or putting forward suggestions for what you call improvements of President Bush's 2007 budget. I'm wondering, why do you want to balance the budget on the back of the middle class and the poor in America? Chris Edwards? We just lost all Telos. Oh, my. Okay. Well, we'll get Chris back on, and we'll get back to this. So, we're gonna try and get him back on the line. In the meantime, let me just share with you some of these statistics. As Arizona Central, Susan Felt writes on azcentral.com, baby boomers heralded as the best educated, wealthiest, and healthiest of any generation have added another superlative, the widest wealth gap. Angela O'Rand of Duke University, a sociologist and co-author of a 2004 study, The Lives and Times of the Baby Boomers, she says, the rich have gotten richer, and for the middle class, income has mostly drifted downward. Boomers not only have the highest wage inequality, but also the highest levels of poverty since the generation born before World War I. That would be the generation that lived through the Great Depression. One in ten boomers born from 1956 to 1964 is in poverty. And the study cites erosion in employees' pension and health insurance benefits, Social Security, increased privatization of what used to be public services, and moving welfare recipients to work. This is the Duke University study. Chris Edwards is back with us. Hey, Chris.
Hey, thanks.
Understand our phone system croaked on you. I'm not sure if you heard my question, but why do you guys want to balance the budget on the backs of the middle class and the poor?
Well, I think, you know, the burden of the government often comes on the backs of the middle class and the poor, and I like to see the overall burden reduced so we can all have greater economic freedom. I mean, I'm proposing a lot of cuts to things like farm subsidies and energy subsidies that go to big corporations, that go to wealthy farmers. You know, I want to put an end to NASA's manned space program, which I think is a huge boondoggle and just lines the pockets of wealthy scientists and engineers. There's a lot of stuff we can do that has nothing to do with programs for low-income people, I think, to make the government more efficient.
Chris, you and the Cato Institute are fond of referring to government as a burden.
That's right.
You know, the last time I drove down a street, I was frankly fairly glad that the stoplights were working. I've lived and worked in countries where they don't. I was fairly glad that there's a police force out there protecting me. I've been shot at in countries where the police are not, you know, where they're on the take, where you don't have
right.
a government that works. I don't think that most Americans think of government as a burden.
No, I think, you know, what the government does, there's some very high priority things the government does. Obviously, crime control, lights on the streets, national defense. And I think that sort of creates a halo of good feelings towards the government. The problem is that the government has expanded way beyond some of those basic and crucial governmental functions. And I think what we see when the government has got too large with too many responsibilities, it just doesn't perform very well. And I think we saw that with Hurricane Katrina. You know, the Bush White House is so, you know, so interested in giving subsidies to Enron Corporation and all this type of thing, it hasn't dealt with some of the basic governmental functions it's supposed to deal with, I think.
And yet, you know, FEMA was working just fine before George Bush got in there. I mean, this, without going off on the tangent of FEMA, I mean, you know, let's get back to this core issue. What if we collectively, we the people of the United States, collectively, through our elected representatives who we can kick out of office anytime we want, so presumably they are actually representing our will, if we collectively decide that we want to have, for example, programs so that poor people in America can get medical care, what's wrong with that? You're suggesting
right.
massive cuts here in Medicaid.
No,
you want to cut $48 billion by block cutting the thing?
I'm suggesting, well, the problem with Medicaid now, which is, you know, a program for low-income health care, is it's split 50-50 between the federal government and the states. The problem is that creates an incentive for states to far overexpand their programs beyond affordable levels. And you get that problem with, you know, a lot of the federal, when federal
the states are facing financial crises, it's just as hard in an individual state to raise taxes as it is at the federal level, Chris.
Look, Medicaid has been rising at 8% a year for a couple of decades now. It's expected to double in cost in just raw dollars from something about $180 billion a year now to about $360 billion 10 years from now. It's just explosive growth, and we won't be able to afford it. We've got a $400 billion deficit. The problem is the next generation of young workers will be crushed under a big tax burden to support all the elderly retirement programs when all those baby boomers retire.
Well, again, I have to say, Chris, I don't think of taxes as a burden. I think of taxes as the dues I pay for living in a civil society. And when I hear people like you call those dues a burden, I think you're behaving like a freeloader.
Look, the problem with the federal government is that too many people freeload off it. I mean, your prior comment suggested that what you think that Congress and the federal government does is supported by a majority all the time. The problem is that's not how legislatures work often. We've got, for example, there's 15,000 pork barrel projects stuffed into spending bills.
I'm not disagreeing
last year,
with you, Chris.
Okay, but
we're on the same page with that stuff.
But
we're on the same page, but it's a matter of priorities.
Right, but the problem is Congress often votes for things that only support narrow and minority interests, not the general broad majority. And
so the solution is not to take a meat axe to programs that aid the middle class and the poor. The solution is to talk about things like, should we have a national health care system that can actually deliver health care in a more efficient fashion?
But aren't you
opposed to that?
But aren't you? Why don't you? Are you on board for cutting some things that just are subsidies for the big corporations, for wealthy people? Things like farm subsidies. Farm subsidies. It's not a grapes of wrath world out there. In the
I'm
American
not disagreeing with
sector.
You on those
yeah.
things, Chris. But the fundamental point here, I think, is this is things that libertarians. You know, I refer to libertarians as Republicans who smoke pot. You guys at the Cato Institute and other pseudo-conservatives, you toss in this stuff like, well, yeah, we want to cut back on the money going to Halliburton. You know, fine. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's cool. But really, underneath it all, there's a fundamental difference in worldview between the worldview, the view of America that the Cato Institute is promoting, which is a very libertarian, very I, me, selfish, government is burden, taxes, social contract? We don't need no stinking social contract. And the historic view that Americans have had of America.
Well, I mean, you know, for the first 150 years of the country, the federal government was very small, and most of all these governmental functions were done by state and local governments, which it seems to me is a lot more sensible way to do it. Things like highway spending, there's no reason for that to be federalized. I think the states ought to raise their own gas tax money and spend for their own highway systems. I mean, right now the problem is we got all this gas tax money going into Washington to fund highways. It doesn't go to the states in most need of more highways. It goes to states like West Virginia and Pennsylvania that have powerful senators. So I would push a lot of these federal functions back down to the states because I think that is closer to the people. We should have diversity in this country. The right policies for California are different than the policies for New York and Virginia. Let's push a lot of these functions back down to the states. Let the states decide, because I think there is diversity of opinion here.
But back to the original point. Why balance the budget on the backs of the middle class and the poor?
I think because we have got a $400 billion deficit, I think we ought to...
We spend more on defense than every other nation in the world combined.
Why are you not going after the defense budget? There should be a lot of cuts to the defense budget as well. I'd highly recommend your listeners, for example, to read a recent book by Winslow Wheeler called The Wastrels of Defense. It's absolutely shocking how much money we waste on the Pentagon military-industrial complex. And senators and representatives are more concerned with putting pork in the Pentagon budget than making sure the defense spending is spent efficiently. So there's cuts. I think we need cuts across the board. I think we can't just zero out on one particular group of people. We need cuts across the board. It's a gigantic deficit we've got.
So let's just say social contract. We don't need no stinking social contract. Do you acknowledge that there's a social contract?
Well, you know, I don't know what I think that there's a basic social contract that we ought to pay. People ought to pay taxes for basic broad functions that
do you consider one of those to be healthcare? Do you think healthcare is a right or a privilege?
No, I don't.
You think healthcare is a privilege, not a right?
It's something that ought to be left to individuals. Yeah, I mean, I think that the more nationalized systems like in Canada have frankly been a disaster. I mean,
Canada's delivering health care at less than half the cost of the United States, and they have, by any measure of the quality of the health of their people, they're better than the United States.
Lines for elective surgery as well, so.
Yeah, if you want it for free, yeah, for elective surgery, if you want to get a nose
it's
job.
It's not free. We pay the cost. It's not
I know,
free.
And we're paying it here. We're paying, the average American is paying over $10,000 a year. In Canada, it's about $5,000.
And our system's far superior.
It is not. I'm sorry, Chris. Our system has fallen apart. It's 16 minutes past here. Chris, thanks for being with
Anytime.
Us. Cato.org.
were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Instead of recognizing the obvious, that global warming is fast reaching the tipping point where it becomes irreversible and disastrous, the Bushites continue to keep their heads up the tailpipes and smokestacks of the industries pumping out the greenhouse gases that cause the unnatural warming. So, we're doomed, right? Not necessarily. While Washington foolishly fiddles, officials at the state level have been springing into action. Unlike the White House, state leaders are up close and personal with the effects of global warming, ranging from declines in the production of some crops to having to plan for rising sea levels along their coastlines. So these officials have gotten serious about restricting the amount of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases coming out of vehicle tailpipes, which is the second largest and fastest growing source of global warming gases. California has been in the lead and has now adopted a rule requiring that 10 years from now, cars and trucks there must have technology in place reducing the emission of these gases by 30%. Oh, scream the automakers. This will cause marketplace chaos. Car sales will cease. The sky will fall. The industry is refusing to support any restrictions on tailpipe emissions of carbon dioxide, instead rushing to court to stop the California rule and require that only the federal government can regulate these gases. Of course, that would maintain the status quo of do-nothingism. One environmental lawyer, noting that the whole world is moving to stop such emissions, says, "We are going to become the dumping ground for the dirtiest cars made in the world. China will have more stringent standards than the U.S. in 2010. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Meanwhile, 8 states from Connecticut to Oregon have also adopted the California rule. To help get your state moving, call the Union of Concerned Scientists, 617-547-5552.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome to the new Americans. Century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want to be just like my president. I want to make more money than I can spend. I want to build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of.
And welcome back. You're light at the end of the tunnel. Talk Radio, the Tom Hartman Radio program, brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS. Latest iPods, all things Macintosh, all things computer, all things PC. Smalldog.com, also their website. Welcome back to our program. America's middle class getting squeezed, writes Christian Weller, a senior economist at the Center for American Progress. Costs for typical middle class expenses. Now, by the way, when they compile the inflation statistics, this is not how they do it. They do it with all these weird formulas and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And, you know, yes, computers are more powerful and their price is going down, so really inflation is going to blah-de-blah-de-blah. But if you just look at what's real, look at the real world. This is what the Center for American Progress did. Look at the real world. Getting back to this whole issue of why is it that the conservatives want to balance the budget, want to try to get their fiscal house in order on the back of the middle class. Look at the real world. Costs for typical middle class expenses, housing, transportation, medical care, and college have risen faster than prices in general. At the same time, earnings have largely been flat in inflation-adjusted terms. In fact, weekly earnings have fallen 3 years in a row. According to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, in 2005, for example, last year we have statistics for, households had to work more hours to pay for those four kinds of expenses, housing, transportation, medical care, and college, than at any time in the last 25 years. Ever since Ronald Reagan declared war on the middle class, we are now seeing the fruits of Reagan's war on the middle class, against the middle-class Americans. Typically, to pay for housing, health care, transportation, and college, in 1979, a year before Reagan came in and declared war on America's middle class, it took 28 weeks out of a 52-week year for a couple, a two-earner couple, to pay for housing, health care, transportation, and college. 29 weeks, just a little less than 28 and change for a couple to paying for their kids to go through college. Now it's well over 31, almost 32 weeks. A two-earner couple had to work 7.1 weeks to pay for housing at the end of 2005, up from 6.7 weeks just at the end of 2000. This is just what George Bush has brought us. Time needed to pay for health care rose from 4.9 to 6.0 weeks just during Bush's presidency. The time needed to pay for college from 1 to 1.5 weeks for a typical two-wage couple. This is really pretty startling. You go back to 1979, for example. Typical two-earner couple. 6.2 weeks to pay for their housing, now 7.1 weeks. Healthcare, 3.5 weeks, basically, out of a year. Paid for your healthcare expense. Now it's 6 weeks. College has gone from 0.4 of a week to 1.5. And so we're seeing some very strange trends out here as a result of these conservative efforts to balance the budget on the back of the middle class. For example, in yesterday's Wall Street Journal, an article by Sarah Rubenstein, Christine Ferris is searching online for that special someone. Her profile on dating site True.com says, I would like to meet a man who can relax and enjoy the woods, the fog, the sea, the mountains, someone who can feel the wonder of nature. I'm romantic and you are too. Also, her ideal man should have health insurance. Health insurance? As Sarah Rubenstein writes in the Wall Street Journal, health insurance is expensive, complex, and bureaucratic. These days, it's also sexy, right up there with washboard abs, a steady job, and a fun-loving personality. Health coverage is emerging as a hot selling point among online daters. People
yes, I will live with you if have access to your health insurance.
Medical coverage, writes Rubenstein, medical coverage used to be a perk that many people took for granted, but at a time when insurance rates are soaring and an aging workforce has seen its benefits slashed, folks on the dating scene are learning that it's hard to find a good plan. You want to run a successful singles ad? Talk about your health insurance plan. In the meantime, as the war on America's middle class that Ronald Reagan declared, George Herbert Walker Bush continued, In terms of international trade policy, Bill Clinton really was a champion of the war against the middle class. And George W. Bush, of course, senior cheerleader for this thing. General Motors Corporation and bankrupt former subsidiary Delphi Corp are now trying to buy out more than 125,000 factory workers, shutting down 12 plants. This is one of those things where, you know, a lot of people are going to say, whoa, $100,000 they're offering me, $80,000 they're offering me, $50,000, anywhere from $35,000 to $140,000 to basically buy people out of their jobs. And it just, you know, it's going to sound good to some people, and then they're going to discover a year or two down the road that money didn't last very long, and that job at Walmart, which is now the world, now the nation's largest employer instead of General Motors, which used to be, that job at Walmart just doesn't quite cut it the way I thought it would. It's 27 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Harper.
This is Vivionik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball. And now XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every Major League Baseball team all season long. And XM has America's largest playlist, including commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. Follow your favorite team with XM. Listen large. Price after mail and rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
Clint Burleson, president of the Olympia Washington local of the American Postal Workers Union, says that a major national U.S. mail hub consolidation will outsource good union jobs and will also degrade first-class mail service. The Postal Rate Commission is meeting on the issue on Friday.
Our rates are going up because of the discounts going to them, and our service is going to be going down because of the discounts to them. And they don't care about that. And so people need to care about that.
Burleson says about 250 postal facilities nationwide will be closed or consolidated if this plan goes forward. He says the result will be slower first-class mail service for individuals and small businesses. Large advertisers will get discounts. Good union jobs will also be lost, Burleson says, and that hurts working families in general.
I can do this because I'm union covered. I'm protected. I have, you know, protection to be able to use my voice. If I was a private sector worker trying to make these arguments, I'd be fired at will employment. So the union contract is not only good for wages and benefits, but it's also good for voice. It allows me to participate in society as well I should without fear of being fired.
A Kansas bill that would have allowed businesses to lower workers' compensation based on previously unknown health conditions of employees was vetoed by Governor Kathleen Sebelius Tuesday. The bill would have allowed doctors to determine if the injured worker had a condition that may not have been previously diagnosed. If so, the business would have been able to reduce workers' compensation payments. It's unlikely that there will be an override of the veto, as the bill only received 67 of the 84 votes needed in the House. Nurses protesting staffing levels is a growing fight across the country. And Mercy Medical Center in Springfield, Massachusetts, is the newest battlefield. Nurses at the center took to the picket lines on Tuesday, protesting staffing levels that they say endangers the health of patients. Representatives of the Massachusetts Nurses Association said nurses are often faced with assisting 10 patients during a shift, while medical research shows an increase in death and injury when nurses care for more than 4 patients during a shift. The union says the disagreement over staffing levels has stalled contract negotiations.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. The aerospace industry posted another record trade surplus last year, one of the few U.S. industries to sell more items abroad than foreign companies send to the U.S. The trade balance rose to nearly $40 billion, a 28% jump. Most U.S. industries suffered a gigantic trade deficit, amounting to an overall $720 billion imbalance, equivalent to more than 6% of total U.S. goods and services. As the aerospace industry flexes its muscle, it not only bolsters its business, but the entire economy.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making 3 or 4 or 5.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares. There's napkins in the bathroom, just below the stairs. Always something happening, nothing going on. There's always something cooking, nothing in the pot.
Hey, welcome back to my friends, the place where liberals fiendishly plot for total world domination, the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Federal government is waging a new and very different war on states' rights, says David Sirota, one motivated not by altruism and equality, but by greed and corruption. Used to be states' rights was the phrase that Republicans used, actually Democrats used as well, to say that they were in favor of maintaining segregation in the United States. It was a buzz phrase for racism, basically. And then Ronald Reagan came along and started using the phrase states' rights for something that had nothing to do with race. And everybody was baffled. Initially, when Reagan first started talking about states' rights, a lot of Republicans were like, whoa, don't use that phrase. Because they've been picking on the Democrats, who had control of the South for years and years, and basically since I'd say probably the 1890s, by and large. And they've been picking on the Democrats, saying that they were using states' rights to maintain segregation. And then, of course, Nixon came along with his Southern strategy, and he flipped that around. So anyhow, by the time Reagan came along, everybody understood. Republicans, Democrats, everybody understood. States' rights was a phrase that meant racism. And Reagan immediately starts talking about states' rights. And everybody's like, whoa, what's the deal? What's he talking about? Well, you know, what he was talking about was really war on the federal government. We, the people, shouldn't even think about something like Social Security, a social safety net. Are you kidding? Federal unemployment mandates? Federal highway programs, Medicare, Medicaid? No. That's what Reagan was talking about. Let's destroy anything that might have to do with the middle class, with helping out the middle class on behalf
of the federal government. But now a very bizarre thing is going on. At the same time that the cons are out there and they're still chanting the states' rights mantra as a way of saying, oh, we want smaller federal government. That's what they're saying. What they're doing is something very different. The Republican-controlled House of Representatives, the Republican-controlled Senate, the Republican-controlled White House are changing the rules of the game. And they're doing it in ways that are actually denying states their rights. For example, in 2003, David Sirota notes, both parties in Congress joined hands to pass legislation barring states from having stricter financial privacy laws than the federal standards, which are looser than states like California already had in the books. Now, who benefits from this? The financial services industry. And how much had that industry given in donations to both parties from 2000 to 2003, just during that three-year period? $1 billion. That was 2003. In 2004, the Bush Treasury Department issued an edict invalidating state laws, just saying that these states, they have no right to make these laws. The state laws that cracked down on the most abusive credit card practices. Credit card industry, they had invested $18 million in the GOP since 2000. They were thrilled. In 2005, they sued New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer in an effort to force him to halt an investigation into banks that may have violated state civil rights laws. The banking industry, handing over $53 million to Republicans since 2000, was let off the hook. And this year, writes David Sirota, Representative Bob Ney, the same congressman connected to the Abramoff investigation, is pushing legislation to prohibit states, prohibit them from regulating predatory lending in the mortgage industry. An industry which has given the GOP $17 million since 2000. Even in CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, buried deep in the bowels of it, a provision that makes it illegal for a state to give preferences to a local company, or for a state to give preferences in their purchasing decisions and in other decisions, to give preference to companies that are socially or environmentally responsible. These cannot be considerations. It has been outlawed under CAFTA. This was pushed through by the Republicans and signed into law. In 2003, Bush appointees of the National Labor Relations Board backed a Chamber of Commerce lawsuit against a California law that prohibited the state from doing business or using revenues from state contracts to fund union-busting campaigns. In 2005, the so-called class action reform, remember that? Well, this was all about preventing you and me from suing people who have harmed us. There have been all kinds of what are called wage repeal acts at local and state levels all across the United States, banning local governments from enforcing local minimum wages higher than the federal minimum wage. And of course, you know, Bush wants to extend the power that the federal government has on behalf of the multinational corporations with his line item veto power grab. So what we're seeing here is the terraforming, the radical transformation, the change, radical change of the economic game in the United States. Used to be we believed that the economy was here to serve society. That is, the whole point of living in society, having an economy, is so you can have a decent living. If you play by the rules, play the game by the rules, put in your 40 hours a week, work hard, you can raise your family, put your kids through school, you don't have to worry about getting sick, it's not going to wipe you out, and you can retire. Now, in this post-Reagan world, in this Republican world, we're back to where we were during the Great Depression, the Republican Great Depression, and before, during the so-called Gilded Age, the age of the robber barons, where there essentially was no middle class. You had workers competing against 12-year-olds for jobs. Why? Because the conservatives knew if you can increase the supply of labor,
the price of labor goes down. Now you have laborers competing against illegal aliens for jobs. It's the same thing. This is what the conservatives want. I was boggled to see that Harry Reid is coming out saying he wants an amnesty program. We've got to legalize these 11 million people. Harry, don't go there. Anyhow, even Walmart is getting in on the act. They are, the act being basically unrestrained, unbridled capitalism. You end up with one company that rules the world, right? And its boldest effort yet to target upscale shoppers, this by the David Koenig in the Associated Press. Koenig. The nation's largest retailer is opening a new store this week with an expanded selection of high-end electronics, more fine jewelry, hundreds of types of wine ranging up to $500 a bottle, and even a sushi bar. Yes, Walmart. Walmart. There's going to be one man left standing, right, in the retail industry. And meanwhile, what are our senators trying to do, you know, about the problem that we have of this huge trade deficit that is in many ways feeding the problem? The fact that Walmart can sell all this stuff cheap because they've got slave labor in China. Well, Chuck Schumer and Lindsey Graham, Democrat and Republican, are now threatening China with sanctions unless they revalue the yuan. Yeah, this is the cure to everything, these guys think. They have no sense of history. They're saying, yes, let's make the Chinese currency go up in value by 25%. Well, of course, it'll make everything coming out of China 25% more expensive. That makes no sense. There are some things coming out of China we might want to keep cheap. There are many things coming out of China, I'd say probably the vast majority, that we want to cost far more than 25% because the labor component of them represents more than a 25% advantage to Chinese manufacturers who have slave labor or, you know, $2 a day labor versus Americans who might want to get into that business who'd have to pay a living wage. It's just nuts. Schumer and Graham are authors of a bill that threatens China with a 27.5% tariff on its exports. This is like going after a fly with a shotgun because they just don't understand the essential basics in this. Alan in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Hello, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up? We've got about a minute, Alan, before we got to take a break.
Okay. Well, last week you talked about the commons, and I wanted to make a differentiation between the commons and public goods.
Okay.
The commons is communal property. In the old days, the cattle were allowed to graze on the commons, and that resulted in skinny cattle and overgrazed land.
Ultimately, I mean, that was like the Boston Commons was originally the grazing land. Yeah.
Right, and the example of that today, of course, is the ocean and the fisheries or the air or something like that, which are free to everybody and are overused.
Yep.
Now, public goods are different. I heard Chris talking about small government, and small government means few public goods, but if small government were the answer to economic prosperity, then those countries with small governments would be prosperous, and it's the other way around.
So how do you define public goods, Chris, in a sentence?
Well,
Alan,
roads, things that are non-excludable and non-depletable is the technical definition.
Oh, I see. The things that we collectively own. Good point. Thank you very much.
Yep.
I appreciate your making it.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. It's 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra strength Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser-drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
In today's busy world, many of us are feeling overwhelmed and stressed. This can lead to sleepless nights, as well as damage to your physical and mental health. Here are some helpful hints to manage your stress. One of the most important is learning to delegate. Ask for help. Studies show that people with a strong support system cope better with stress. So take the time to build close relationships. It's a great investment in your health and happiness. And carve out time to enjoy yourself. Taking the time to chill out will make you more effective in everything you do. Keep listening for other stress-reducing tips brought to you by Tylenol PM.
French authorities are hunting down pirate fishing boats from space. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. French authorities are cracking down on illegal fishing by tracking down pirate fishing boats from space. They use satellites to spot the pirate vessels, and then they send patrol boats to intercept the illegal operations and enforce the law. The French authorities started the program 2 years ago to deal with operations that illegally took Patagonian toothfish from waters around a French territory in the southern Indian Ocean. The toothfish yields a big profit on the black market, and it's being depleted by illegal operations. French fishing boats were licensed to take 6,000 or 7,000 tons of toothfish from the territorial waters every year. According to some estimates, illegal fishing took 6 times more than that. The French government worked with a satellite company known as CLS. Antoine Monsignon works with CLS. He says land-based radar was not sufficient for law enforcement around the remote Kerguelen Islands.
You need a radar that can see, first of all, that can see at night, also through the clouds, and on a long range, and only satellite can do that.
Monsignon says the company relied on 2 different satellites. One was used by Canada to track icebergs. The other was used by the European Space Agency to monitor oil spills.
It very often happens that when you launch a satellite, you launch it for one given purpose, and then you discover later that it can be used for something else.
In this case, the strategy paid off immediately. In July of 2004, the satellites detected a vessel that was in French waters illegally. The Navy sent a patrol boat to track it down and fire a warning shot across its bow. The approach worked. Last year, the French government reported that the surveillance system has cut illegal fishing by 90%. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
So you want to stop smoking? Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier. Tell him you don't want to pay for the product. You just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if, you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it? Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they will send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of the Smoke-Free capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules, just in case you are worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Smoke-Free. Call 1-800-684-5908. That's 1-800-684-5908. This is a limited-time offer, so call 1-800-684-5908 now.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
We're privatizing Medicare, it's history, and what will take its place will be a prime example, truly ample, opportunity. Oh, there's a hefty deductible on all the drugs you need. And there's co-payments for sure. We're selling a cure if you're feeding that greed. Oh, Grandma, sign the paper. Grandpa, don't be slow. Yes, you'll get medication if you join our HMO.
Yes, welcome, our friends. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Nearly 70% of Americans own their homes, a record high, notes Noel Knox in USA Today today. But the rate of home ownership for working families with children is lower than 1978, a couple of years before Reagan declared war on the middle class. That's from me, not from USA Today. But USA Today says it's lower than in 1978. The surprising trend is being driven, writes Noel Knox in USA Today, surprising trend is being driven by a combination of factors: soaring housing costs that have overshot wage increases, higher health care bills, and a rise in the number of single parents.
The effects are being felt in communities where teachers, police, and firefighters cannot afford to live in the communities where they work if they want to own homes. This is the conservative world that they would have. I mean, it's just, you know, it works if you're making $1 million a year. It works if you're making $2 million. It works if you're making $5 million. You make $1 million a year, you got a $100,000 tax cut as a result of George W. Bush. Millionaires are happy. Problem is, there's only about 30,000-40,000 millionaires in the United States. So where's their contingency? So what they've got to do is convince average working class people that millionaires' interests are the same as their interests. And they got, you know, multimillionaire Limbaugh out there and a whole bunch of these other guys out there flogging that thing. And I just don't think the Americans are buying it. Dave in Eureka, California. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling the program. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tom. I don't think for a minute that it's incompetence, the failing. I see a situation where very greedy corporations and individuals are paying for the right to rip us off. They are, in effect, buying that privilege from the government with the
drug. I agree. And even the Cato Institute would agree with you.
I wonder, it sounded like he didn't see it that way, your guest this morning.
They're kind of caught in between a rock and a hard place. And I don't want to speak for the Cato Institute. A lot of conservatives are caught between a rock and a hard place in that they want to say, well, you know, government shouldn't be handing out pork to, you know, like, you know, huge subsidies and supports for mega farmers and for the oil industry. They shouldn't be doing that. And yet, at the same time, really, they know that the side that their bread is buttered on is the corporate side.
Yes, they don't want to say that the poor should not have medical care, but that is what, in fact, they're saying. There's a genuine lack of feeling and concern for the have-nots, I think.
Yeah. No, and you know, it just kind of basically came out and said it, you know, that, hey, it doesn't matter what's, you know, health care should be a privilege and not a right.
And
hey, thanks a lot for the call. I got to move along. Josh in Hong Kong on the line. Hey, Josh, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good.
Excuse me if I sound groggy. It's 2 in the morning here, and I just got back from a big trip to Guangzhou. This is what's on my mind. You know, I expect a lot of black and white generalizations from the right wing, but it kind of irks me when I hear it from the left, and I hear you and I hear a lot of the guys saying things like slave laborers in China and slave factories in China. I used to be a factory inspector. I used to go into all these factories that made stuff for Kmart, Walmart, Kathy Lee, you name it, and yes, the conditions there are deplorable, but it's not as black and white as them being slave laborers. I mean, they're people, they're working for a living, and they're working for a wage that they need. What I hear happening, and I hear this when I go back to America, which I only do every 3 years now because the place just freaks me out, dude, is it tends to dehumanize them, and it tends to make people in America who should be seeing them as you know, people in the struggle and people who are their comrades in the struggle, is basically, you know, the upper class against the downtrodden, see them as sort of the enemy. Oh, they're the slave laborers working.
No, I think what's happening, Josh, is that increasingly Americans are seen, and it's not just China, it's right across the board, as a consequence of these free trade rules that, you know, the entire world is being turned into basically a free trade zone like Hong Kong was for so many years. And by the way, you live in a beautiful place. I've been there many times and I love it. And
welcome back here. I'll take you out for dinner some anytime.
Well, that would be great. But the point is that Americans, the American middle class, used to be protected from the differences in the standards of living around the world by tariffs. We used to say in the United States, if there's a dollar's worth of labor and a pair of shoes made here and 10 cents worth of labor and a pair of shoes made in China, whether it's made with slave labor or whether it's just made with cheap labor or even middle class labor at that, you know, prevailing wage rate, it's still 10 cents worth of labor. We're going to put a 90 cent tax on that item when we import it. We're going to call that an import tariff. And in fact, that works so successfully in the United States that the entire source of sustenance for the United States government, 100% of the U.S. government budget from the founding of this country up until just a few years before the Civil War was tariffs. And that's how we built industry in the United States. It was fully a third of government revenues right up until World War I. And what we did was we equalized labor. We created a level playing field for labor. Bill Clinton took that apart, and that's what I think a lot of people are concerned about.
I have no issue with that whatsoever.
So when I speak of slave wages in China, you're right. It's an overgeneralization. It's in my mind, it's a euphemism for what would be slave wages if they were paid here in the United States.
But that also doesn't hold because something in America that costs $5 costs $1 there. So if they make one-fifth as much, they're still getting the
But my point is American workers are having to pay that $5 for the $1 item in China, and yet they're being they're having to compete a $1 for $1 on labor, and that's not right.
Agree with you. I just want to change the tone. That's all.
Okay, got it. Good point, Josh.
As a Chinese worker, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, well said. Thank you very much. Great to hear from you, and thanks for listening to us there in Hong Kong. It's 56 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartmann radio program. We'll be back.
Been listening to the Tom Hartmann program? Check our website at www.tomhartmann.com for archives of this program and more information.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra strength Tylenol rapid release gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
Do you get frequent headaches, have difficulty concentrating, or trouble sleeping? If you answered yes to one or more of these questions, then you are among the millions of people who are suffering the symptoms of stress. But take heart. Managing stress properly can help you to be more productive and happy. So here are some helpful hints to get you on the path to wellness. Exercise is one of the best ways to relax. It clears your head and makes you feel better physically. And take a moment to prioritize your to-do list. You'll actually get more done and feel better while you're doing it. Keep listening for other stress-reducing information brought to you by Tylenol PM.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called him myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. Hard times on the high seas today. A fire aboard the Carnival cruise ship, the Star Princess, killed one person and injured 11 others. The ship is docked in Jamaica. It left Fort Lauderdale on Sunday. Off the coast of the African country of Cameroon, a ferry carrying 150 passengers sank. Only 23 people were rescued. The boat was headed for the country of Gabon from a town in Nigeria. And on land in Chile, a bus carrying more than a dozen elderly American tourists back to their cruise ship from a national park excursion lost control and tumbled down a mountainside. 12 Americans died. Two survived the crash and are hospitalized with broken bones. The driver and tour guide were also hurt. The tourists were returning to the celebrity cruise ship Millennium. Government officials in Chile say the bus wasn't legally authorized to carry tourists. The small tour company had filed a request about 2 weeks ago, but the registration hadn't yet been approved. Some positive news from Iraq today. Three hostages were rescued. When their location was tipped off, the three men were with a group of Christian peace activists. U.S. Army Major General Rick Lynch says the two Canadians and a Briton were alone when U.S. and British forces broke into a house in western Baghdad early this morning.
They were rescued. They're in safe condition. They're in good medical condition, and they're excited about returning to their families.
Lynch says the men were bound, and no kidnappers were in the area. An American, unfortunately, kidnapped with them in November, was found dead on March 9th. British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw in London had praise for the raiders.
I've had to deal with a lot of hostage situations,
sometimes they've had a good result, sometimes, tragically, they've had a bad result. So this is really good news.
And the latest snapshot, as it were, of the job market suggests it is looking a little bit better. The Labor Department says the number of Americans filing new claims for jobless benefits dropped 11,000 last week to 302,000, and that is the first decline in 4 weeks. In February, the government says the economy created 243,000 jobs, with the unemployment rate running at 4.8%. I'm Mark Shearer, and you are listening to Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by the members of the National Association of Realtors. Thinking about buying or selling a home? Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics, so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz, the number 6.com.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
Attention! If you do not have health insurance, have limited health insurance, or are uninsurable and are worried about the cost of health care, this announcement is for you. For less than $2 a day, your entire family can save thousands of dollars on all medical expenses thanks to Synergy Health. With more than 600,000 providers around the country, Synergy Health can save you up to 60% on doctors, hospitals, hearing, vision, prescriptions, and even dental care. Plus, you'll get great savings on chiropractic, alternate medicine, and much more. And here's the best part. Synergy Health offers guaranteed acceptance to everyone, no matter what your health history or income, at the same low price. Call our 800 number and learn how Synergy Health is helping families like yours for less than $2 a day. There is no obligation, and the information is free.
Call 1-800-933-2596 for free information. That's 1-800-933-2596. There's absolutely no obligation.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 6 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you in the Darwinian world of ideas. We're at the top of the food chain. Ned Lamont is with us. He's the U.S. is running for the U.S. Senate, candidate for the seat that Joe Lieberman is holding in Connecticut. His website, Ned Lamont, LAMONT.com. Hey, Ned, welcome to the program. Ned? Alex, I can't hear Ned. He's up and not talking. Okay, well, I guess we'll come back to Ned a little later. As Iraq teeters on and over the brink of civil war, the pressure is not easing on hard-pressed U.S. ground forces there. The benchmark, U.S. casualties staying high. It's interesting. Over the last month, the Bush administration saying casualties are going down. The number of troops who've died in Iraq is dropping. In fact, the rate of wounded is increasing. So it's we'll get into that in a little bit. Ned Lamont is back with us. Hey, Ned. Ned?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
I am. I can. You're running against Joe Lieberman in the Connecticut primary for United States Senate. Looking at your website, nedlamont.com, Ned, I didn't see any issues on there beyond your saying that you would stand up to the Bush administration and turn back judicial appointees outside the mainstream, fight for universal health care, and challenge the status quo. What differentiates you from Joe Lieberman?
Well, first of all, give us 1 week, and you'll see the issues begin flowing onto the website at nedlamont.com.
Okay.
But I think the difference between me and the senator is pretty stark. First and foremost, I think the president rushed us into this war. We didn't ask the tough questions going in, and Senator Lieberman cheered on the president every step of the way. I think the president, Joe Lieberman, believed that stay the course is the right strategy. I think it's the wrong strategy. I think it's time for the Iraqis to start taking responsibility for their own destiny, and it's time for us to start pulling our troops back to the periphery and start bringing our troops home. I think that spending $300 million a day over in Iraq could be better spent here in the United States. I look at a preschool. I look at after-school programs. I look at a veteran's benefits. I look at public transportation, just to name a few of the priorities I would have as we try and redirect our resources to the people most in need in this country.
Sounds to me, Ned, like you're a Democrat.
I think I'm a Democrat.
and increasingly people are scratching their heads looking at Joe Lieberman going, is this guy a Democrat? But here's the larger question. The Democratic Party is a pretty formidable machine, even though there's a fairly progressive guy at the head of it in the form of Howard Dean. It still is this machine, and there's this enormous momentum associated with it. Do you seriously think that there's a chance that you could beat Joe Lieberman in the primary in Connecticut? And I know the obligatory answer, of course, is yes, that's why I'm in the race. But, you know, give us some insight, if so, into how.
Yes, that's why I'm in the race. And this is how we're going to win. We're going to win because I'm going to the four corners of the state. I'm going to each and every one of the town committees I can get to. And there's a real grassroots enthusiasm for a change in Washington. And there's a real grassroots enthusiasm to have people stand up to the Bush administration whose policies are so harmful to our state and our country. And wherever I go, people are saying, look, no senator can punch the clock and round the bend every 6 years. We want a choice. We want a debate. And I think they want a change.
Has Joe Lieberman said, Ned Lamont, that he will debate you?
Well, we've certainly been pushing for a debate. And I announced a week ago Monday, and I said, let's talk about health care. Let's have the debate. Where are we on education? Let's have the debate. Where are we in the war in Iraq? Let's have the debate. And I hope he responds.
Are you on the ballot? Did you get enough signatures and you've satisfied all the legal requirements to be legally on the ballot in the primary?
We'll be on the ballot. We can't start soliciting for signatures until early May, I think it is. We're going to do that. We've got thousands of volunteers lined up around the state. They're ready to go help with the signature campaign. At the same time, we're respectful of the party here in the state. We're going to go to the convention and do our best to get 15% of the delegates there as well.
Now, we're talking with Ned Lamont. He's running against Joe Lieberman in the primary. And when is the primary in Connecticut?
A hot day in August, August 8th.
Wow, that's pretty far back there. That's interesting.
It's the first time we've ever had an August primary, so it'll be interesting to see the type of people that turn out. I think it's going to be people that care very strongly that Iraq was a bad decision, and those that got us into this mess should be held accountable. And I think it's going to be those that feel like we ought to redirect some of our attentions back home. I think we're going to have a good turnout.
Anything that moves the party to the left, I think, is broadly a good thing. I am concerned, however, that, and I think a lot of Americans are concerned about the possibility that we may be wounding Democrats, even bad Democrats, even wishy-washy Democrats, even pro-war Democrats like Joe Lieberman, who I would say is, you know, more often than not probably a Republican rather than a Democrat. Yet, nonetheless, the first vote that somebody makes in Congress is the vote for leadership, and that's arguably their most important vote, because the leadership defines everything. They define the agenda. They decide, you know, who's in charge of committees, what legislation gets to the floor, what gets voted on, what doesn't get voted on. And it's pretty important, I think, to preserve that seat in Connecticut as a Democratic seat. Are you concerned that, on the one hand, you may wound Joe Lieberman so much that the Republican who opposes him might, you know, have an opportunity to beat him, or alternatively, that if you get the nomination, that Lieberman may have wounded you to the point that you can't successfully fight a Republican challenge?
No, our August 8th primary is the general election. There's really not a Republican on the horizon with any credibility that will challenge Senator Lieberman, and there's actually been some talk about Senator Lieberman running, you know, as a Republican. So I don't think that that's really a risk. I think you're going to find on August 8th that we're electing the next U.S. Senator from Connecticut, and Connecticut's a very progressive state. You know, you're not going to be losing a senator. You're going to be gaining a Democrat.
Yeah, interesting. Ned Lamont, the website, nedlamont.com. Ned, how are you raising money?
Well, first of all, we're doing it the old-fashioned way. We're doing it off of the website. We've gotten, you know, a couple thousand donations already. We declared, like I said, a week ago Monday. I feel really good about that. It's small grassroots contributions, but it's coming from everybody across the state and a lot of folks across the country that see this as a very important race. You know, I'm putting in some of my own resources on the table just to show that we're going to get this off, you know, to a really credible and real and professional start, and we're doing that. So we'll be there to compete. Don't worry about that. Any help you guys could be, I'd appreciate it.
And here you are. And aside from your worldview, from the opinions that you're bringing to the table, what's your background? What in your mind qualifies you to run for the United States Senate?
I don't think the U.S. Senate should be the preserve of lifelong politicians necessarily. I've spent a lot of time in local government here in my hometown, selectmen, board of finance. I've been involved as a teacher up the Bridgeport Public Schools here in inner city school system. I've done research projects for the Brookings Institution. But my main life is I'm a father of three teenagers, and I started up a telecommunications business about 20 years ago, and they've been keeping me pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Ned Lamont, and any final thoughts you want to share with our listeners, Ned?
I think mainly that politics shouldn't be the preserve just of the politicians. I think we've got some real issues on the table, and this thing is very winnable. If people turn out, we get the energy on August 8th that we got today, we get some of the resources we need, I think we can really send a message 90 days before the Democratic, or before the general election in November, 90 days before that, the message will be the Democrats are on the march, so help us out.
Okay. Ned Lamont, the website, NEDLAMONT.com. Ned, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Good talking with you today. It's going to be interesting to see how this stuff shakes out. Increasingly, we're seeing progressive challengers to DLC Democrats, plain vanilla Democrats across the United States. It's happening right here in Oregon, for example. I'm going to be moderating a debate between a sitting Democratic governor, the governor of Oregon, Ted Kulongoski, and two challengers, a very progressive guy, Ted Sorensen, and a fairly progressive guy, Jim Hill, former state treasurer. And in just a couple of weeks. And that's just, it's like unheard of that a sitting governor would debate somebody in a primary. Yeah, it's not unheard of, but it's pretty rare. And I think that it's an indication that politics is becoming more open in the United States, and that particularly on the Democratic side, that people want debate, they want honest discussion. And I think that to his credit, I'd say the governor here in Oregon is embracing that, by the way. And that, you know, they want a more open process. I think this is a healthy thing, ultimately, a good thing, broadly speaking. I wanted to just finish up this point I was making on the U.S. casualties in Iraq, by the way. The Bush administration has been out here going, isn't it wonderful, U.S. troops who have been killed, in fact, has fallen. And, yes, that's wonderful. But Fox News, you know, they took 2003, 2004, 2005, entire year averages, and then 2006, the first 3 months, and made it as if that was a year, and then showed this graph, you know, that's falling down, or falling off the edge. But in fact, the number of troops being wounded is actually up. over the past 8 months repeatedly. We've been seeing this, and a rise of 49 just in the past 39 days, or an average of 1.3 per day killed, and increases in the wounded. 16 minutes past the hour.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Instead of recognizing the obvious, that global warming is fast reaching the tipping point where it becomes irreversible and disastrous, the Bushites continue to keep their heads up the tailpipes and smokestacks of the industries pumping out the greenhouse gases that cause the unnatural warming. So, we're doomed, right? Not necessarily. While Washington foolishly fiddles, officials at the state level have been springing into action. Unlike the White House, state leaders are up close and personal with the effects of global warming, ranging from declines in the production of some crops to having to plan for rising sea levels along their coastlines. So these officials have gotten serious about restricting the amount of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases coming out of vehicle tailpipes, which is the second largest and fastest growing source of global warming gases. California has been in the lead and has now adopted a rule requiring that 10 years from now, cars and trucks there must have technology in place reducing the emission of these gases by 30%. Oh, scream the automakers. This will cause marketplace chaos. Car sales will cease. The sky will fall. The industry is refusing to support any restrictions on tailpipe emissions of carbon dioxide, instead rushing to court to stop the California rule and require that only the federal government can regulate these gases. Of course, that would maintain the status quo of do-nothingism. One environmental lawyer, noting that the whole world is moving to stop such emissions, says, "We are going to become the dumping ground for the dirtiest cars made in the world. China will have more stringent standards than the U.S. in 2010. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Meanwhile, 8 states from Connecticut to Oregon have also adopted the California rule. To help get your state moving, call the Union of Concerned Scientists, 617-547-5552.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small. by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be.
And welcome back, my friends. For your minimum daily adult requirement of sanity, the Tom Hartman radio program, broadcasting from behind the good old working class stainless steel microphone here in Little Beirut, the People's Republic of Portland, Oregon. Ellen Ratner on the line from Washington, D.C., the belly of the proverbial beast. Hey, Ellen.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, it's interesting. Bush, the president, remember him, gave a speech yesterday in Wheeling, West Virginia. And I think I may have told you the actual details because we have a host that's involved. It was sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce, who actually paid some of the Air Force One costs in order to get him. They had 2,000 tickets. They only let out 200 of those to the general public. The rest was to their people,
right.
And obviously people who are quite supportive of the president.
Right.
Well, today, without saying that, the Republican National Committee sends out sound clips from that to radio stations. And, you know, like they sort of wind up their minions and sort of tell them what to say. And a couple of hosts were playing that, and they were essentially saying, see, he's getting such a positive reaction. See, they had a mother of somebody who's in Iraq there talking about how important the mission is.
Right.
I mean, I said to one of my hosts, I said, do you honestly think people are going to believe this?
Yeah, this is actually a woman who was in the audience yesterday whose husband works for the Pentagon as a reporter. Now, the Pentagon doesn't actually have reporters.
No,
the Pentagon has a...
One was a mother and one was this...
Right. The Pentagon has a propaganda operation going on. And let me just play a little bit of this clip of this so our listeners will know what you're talking about, Ellen. This is just mind-boggling.
Every service at our church, you are by name lifted up in prayer. And you and your staff and all of our leaders. And we believe in you. We are behind you. And we cannot thank you enough for what you've done to shape our country.
And then she goes on. Then she goes on to talk about her husband is one of these propaganda officials with the Pentagon.
This is my husband who has returned from a 13-month tour in Tikrit.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, buddy.
And
welcome back.
And his job, she says.
His job while serving was as a broadcast journalist. And he has brought back several DVDs full of wonderful footage of reconstruction of medical things going on. And I ask you this from the bottom of my heart for a solution to this, because it seems that our major media networks don't want to portray the good.
Yeah, and she goes on and on and on like this. Presumably that's what you're talking about, Ellen.
There was that one, and then there was a mother at some point also who got up.
So do you think the 2 days that he actually took questions from people who would contradict him, he's only done it 2 days out of the last 4 years, those 2 days, do you think that those 2 days were a toe-in-the-water experiment to see if it would work, number one? Number two, Bush telling his own advisors, hey, I can handle anything, give him to me, and then he decided, oops. Or number three, that this was a setup so that everything from this point forward looks like it's a continuation of those 2 days, and that what we're seeing is the real and genuine thinking of the American people.
No, this is what I honestly think happened. He decided to take questions because he was feeling his, swaggering self on Monday. It went pretty well, according to my sources at the White House. So then, I mean, these are people in the administration. So then they went with the Tuesday press conference. The Wednesday rah-rah-ree had been set up, a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the Wednesday deciding who they're going to let in and everything to that was decided. It was paid for. Most of people are not aware that when the president often comes to town to speak to these groups, they actually pay for it.
Hmm.
Well, they don't they pay the Air Force One expenses.
Right.
Not the whole amount, but the first class airfare for the president and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because what happens is there's a certain amount in the travel budget, and when they go above it, he just can't travel.
Right. So Air Force One costs $50,000 an hour to operate, but they pay, say, whatever the first class airfare would be, so they pay like
Yeah, the actual figures, I keep them on a folder. I thought I had them right here.
Yeah.
It's more like it's $56,518 per hour for Air Force One, $14,552, but that does not include all the other military planes that go along that carry his, you know, his limousine and all that stuff. That's
right.
Separate.
Wow.
What?
So what's the strategy here on the part of the White House?
Well, I think the strategy was to make him look, you know, like he was talking to people, and I think that then they're going to go back to a few of these rah-rah briefings, although this particular one was set up way in advance.
So.
And I think he's just going to continue with his... That's it.
So we're back to Bubble Boy.
We're back to Bubble Boy. I mean, he may go out of the bubble on occasion, but only when he's feeling super confident.
Hmm. Interesting. You think they're adjusting his meds?
No, I just think he's an untreated alcoholic from having worked in the field for a number of years.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ellen Radner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Ellen, thanks so much
you
for being with us. Good talking with you. 27 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Place where being progressive never felt so good.
This is Vivionik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show absolutely without question. Whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
Well, Club, we read a real classic, The Mac and Cheese Box. Let's discuss.
Oh, I loved it. The boiling of the water, the adding of the salt.
What about the French directions?
Yeah, bouillie de eau de tasses. So romantic.
Yeah.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What about next month? How about the French fried onion can? I've been dying to read it. Oh.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball. And now XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every Major League Baseball team all season long. And XM has America's largest playlist, including commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. Follow your favorite team with XM. Listen large. Price after mail and rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
Clint Burleson, president of the Olympia Washington local of the American Postal Workers Union, says that a major national U.S. mail hub consolidation will outsource good union jobs and will also degrade first-class mail service. The Postal Rate Commission is meeting on the issue on Friday.
Our rates are going up because of the discounts going to them, and our service is going to be going down because of the discounts to them. And they don't care about that, and so people need to care about that.
Burleson says about 250 postal facilities nationwide will be closed or consolidated if this plan goes forward. He says the result will be slower first-class mail service for individuals and small businesses. Large advertisers will get discounts. Good union jobs will also be lost, Burleson says, and that hurts working families in general.
I can do this because I'm union covered. I'm protected. I have, you know, protection to be able to use my voice. If I was a private sector worker trying to make these arguments, I'd be fired at will employment. So the union contract is not only good for for wages and benefits, but it's also good for voice. It allows me to participate in society as well as I should without fear of being fired.
A Kansas bill that would have allowed businesses to lower workers' compensation based on previously unknown health conditions of employees was vetoed by Governor Kathleen Sebelius Tuesday. The bill would have allowed doctors to determine if the injured worker had a condition that may not have been previously diagnosed. If so, the business would have been able to reduce workers' compensation payments. It's unlikely that there will be an override of the veto, as the bill only received 67 of the 84 votes needed in the House. Nurses protesting staffing levels is a growing fight across the country, and Mercy Medical Center in Springfield, Massachusetts, is the newest battlefield. Nurses at the center took to the picket lines on Tuesday, protesting staffing levels that they say endangers the health of patients. Representatives of the Massachusetts Nurses Association said nurses are often faced with assisting 10 patients during a shift, while medical research shows an increase in death and injury when nurses care for more than 4 patients during a shift. The union says the disagreement over staffing levels has stalled contract negotiations.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. The aerospace industry posted another record trade surplus last year, one of the few U.S. industries to sell more items abroad than foreign companies send to the U.S. The trade balance rose to nearly $40 billion, a 28% jump. Most U.S. industries suffered a gigantic trade deficit, amounting to an overall $720 billion imbalance, equivalent to more than 6% of total U.S. goods and services. As the aerospace industry flexes its muscle, it not only bolsters its business, but the entire economy.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
So you want to stop smoking? Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier. Tell them you don't want to pay for the product. You just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if, you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it? Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they will send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of the Smoke-Free Capsules, a Guide to Living Smoke-Free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules, just in case you are worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Smoke-Free. Call 1-800-684-5908. That's 1-800-684-5908. This is a limited-time offer, so call 1-800-684-5908 now.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Just got home from Illinois, locked the front door, oh boy. Got to sit down, take a rest on the porch. As the nation sets in, pretty soon I'm singing.
And welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Very, very interesting story here. Ben Bernanke, an email that Ben Bernanke, or a letter, a response that Ben Bernanke sent to Representative Brad Sherman, a Democrat from California. This is really interesting. Gold today dropped by, I don't know, $6-7, something like that, into the 540 range, April delivery gold. And I've been noticing for a while, there's a very well-considered newsletter that comes out every Wednesday all across the United States, well, all across the world, about investments, and specifically about gold and other types of investments like that. And when the people who publish this newsletter say, you know, gold's probably going to go down, I've been noticing that on Thursdays it goes down. And when they say it's probably going to go up, I've been noticing that on Thursdays it goes up. And yesterday, Wednesday, they said it's probably going to go down. It went down today. And interestingly, gold's price is a function at certain levels of the value of the dollar. So if the dollar starts to fall, the price of gold goes up. The price of other commodities go up as well. Everything we import into the United States will go up. And that broadly is seen as a problem It'll cause inflation. It will make everything more expensive. Then you're going to have wages increasing. And you know, that's the definition of inflation, the decrease in the value of the dollar. So trying to keep the dollar from falling is something that historically the Fed has, at a certain level, arguably tried to do, although one of the classic little tricks at the federal level of government is to run up debt. This is, you know, really pioneered under Reagan, although it's not something new to Reagan. Run up debt and then pay it off with dollars that are cheaper than the dollars that you borrowed to begin with by inflating them. So, you know, if a dollar will buy a loaf of bread in 1980, it might be $1.80 now or whatever it is. So you're paying off your dollars with cheaper dollars. So anyhow, Bernanke says, this Reuters story, and this has really got me scratching my head wondering, you know, is Bernanke just not, what's the word? Is Bernanke just not particularly sophisticated or smooth? Has he not figured out that if he hiccups, the whole world is going to hold its breath? Or is he trying to set a signal? And I suspect currency markets all over the world are asking the same thing. He sent this letter to Brad Sherman, who released it today, saying, well, here's the story from Reuters. I'll just share it with you straight up. The chronic U.S. trade gap need not fuel a precipitous decline in the dollar, but the economy could handle it if it did, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said Tuesday. In a letter to Representative Brad Sherman, a California Democrat, he said, although U.S. trade deficits cannot continue to widen forever, these deficits need not engender a precipitous decline in the dollar, nor should such a decline, were it to occur, necessarily disrupt financial markets, production, or employment. Now, keep in mind, this is in the context of all these guys out there saying that they want to try and raise the value of the Chinese currency, the yuan. They want the Chinese, you know, you've got, you know, a couple of senators out here saying that if China doesn't raise the value of the yuan, they're going to slap China with a 20-some-odd% tariff, a penalty. And the problem for this thing, and, you know, it's a very real problem. The problem for this thing is that if China, let's say China tomorrow raised the value of the yuan by 25%, that would mean everything we import from China goes up 25% in price. What's that? What impact is that going to have on the U.S. economy suddenly, you know, if it happens suddenly? It could be negative. Now, you could argue that the same thing would happen if my suggestion of tariffs were to go into place. Again, I think these things should be phased in. I mean, it took us 25 years to phase them out. Let's phase them back in and in the process rebuild America's industrial base. But I'm just wondering if all around the world there are currency speculators that are dumping dollars right now as we speak. I mean, this story came out just very recently. I mean, just over the last day or so. If, you know, all over the world there's currency traders going, Bernanke doesn't care if the dollar falls. Well, let's get out of dollars. Let's sell dollars. And then what's that going to do to commodities? You know, what's that going to do to the economy? Yeah, it's interesting food for thought. I hope it doesn't seem too esoteric. This is our economic future.
Just a push of a button. Just a touch of a screen.
Yes, indeed, our voting machine alert. This is amazing now. The Republicans are starting to duke it out over voting machines, believe it or not. A conservative Republican former Texas Supreme Court justice who ran against a Republican opponent backed by Governor Rick Perry. That's the Bush machine in Texas, the remnants of the Bush machine. Is considering a challenge to the tremendously flawed primary elections held in the state 2 weeks ago on new electronic voting machines. Steve Smith is this former conservative Republican Texas Supreme Court justice, and he's noting that in, for example, Winkler County in 2002, he got 74% of the vote, 260-92. In 2004, presidential election year, you have higher numbers, he got 65% of the vote, 468-29. So this guy gets 260 votes out of a total of about 350 cast, in 2002, and he gets about 460 out of a total of about 700 cast in 2004. And 2006, 273 votes cast in Winkler County. You know, back to what it was in 2000, more or less. 273 total votes cast. How many of them went for this guy? Zero. According to electronic voting machines, zero. No votes. According to his campaign manager, he outperformed the statewide results by 13% in his home county of Tarrant in 2004. But this year, according to the results, he underperformed the state results by 23%. They think that what this means, Brett Friedman over at bradblog.com breaking the story, the Republican Steve Smith, conservative Republican, Texas former Texas Supreme Court Justice, thinking that the electronic voting machines have done something to him not so good. Fascinating. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number, Gary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Gary, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Tom. I've been around, I've been around the markets and the middle markets for over, it's 40 years this year, and your point is well taken. I just want to add something to it, if I may.
What do you think is going to happen to gold?
Well, I'll tell you exactly. I've been a, luckily, I'm middle class, but luckily I liked gold 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I think? I think here's what it is. The price of the stocks will tell you more than the price of gold. Now, like today, you're right. The gold price is down, but the stocks aren't really going down. That's the key. Keep your eye on the gold stocks rather than the price of gold.
Interesting. But the gold stocks usually follow the price of gold by a day or two. I mean, don't you think that the gold stocks...
Well, there's no real... Don't forget, there's a lot of unethical people in the markets.
Yeah.
Okay? That's not... There's no real... That's more or less on balance the way people look at it.
Do you subscribe to the Aiden Report, Gary?
Pardon me?
Are you familiar with the Aiden Report?
Abram?
Aiden.
Well, I don't want to be sound... I want to be humble about this. But I'm going to tell you the bottom line is, because you're a very honest man, and I can, and I know you'll appreciate this. I'm my own man, my own call.
Okay.
Although I do take advice.
Yeah, we had a caller a couple days ago saying, you know, do you think I should be buying gold right now? And I, you know, I'm not a sophisticated investor. Right. You know, I'm looking, you know, I can tell that there's something wrong with our economy.
The best thing they can do. I'll make it short to the point. The best thing they can do, if they are interested, I know there's a lot of talk about it, the best thing that they do for the average person is to find a good a precious metal fund.
Yeah, a mutual fund.
Right. That's
ideally one denominated in a currency other than dollars.
Pardon me?
Ideally one denominated in a currency other than dollars.
Well, let me answer it this way. Find a real good mutual fund. You know, one that's got credibility, been around for years, and most of them have a precious metal fund.
Okay, we've gotten off on a tangent here, Gary, and it may be of more interest to you and me than to our listeners. That's not what you called about.
No, it's not what I just wanted to add to that if I could. I just wanted to contribute here.
Sure.
But secondly, I just believe you have a little more optimism about the election in November than I do. To be frank with you, and I hope you and I'm a positive thinker, but I'm not as positive about that as you are. I understand you have a program, this, that, and everything, and I think you have a very healthy position on it. Now, having said all that, centralized wealth, and I know you probably agree that is the increasing concern that I have in America.
Yeah, I think Kevin Phillips really nailed this well in his last two books, actually.
Right. And vis-a-vis, and maybe I can't articulate quite yet, I got to get to the bottom line here, is, you know, I believe the FDR said, we have earned the hatred of entrenched greed.
Mm-hmm. It was a badge of honor, actually, for FDR. Yeah.
Man's freedoms in America is being attacked. George Bush talks about freedom. What about freedom from not having this health care and pension thing around America workers' throats?
Yeah, I agree. Gary, well said. And this is not something that FDR talked about, was that in his 1936 speech, he said, a necessitous man is not a free man. If you're hungry, you're not free. 45 minutes past the hour.
Now, No doubt about it, the Internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the Internet, too. Isn't it time the Internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball, and now XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every Major League Baseball team all season long, and XM has America's largest playlist, including commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. Follow your favorite team with XM. Listen large. Price after mail and rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
French authorities are hunting down pirate fishing boats from space. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. French authorities are cracking down on illegal fishing by tracking down pirate fishing boats from space. They use satellites to spot the pirate vessels, and then they send patrol boats to intercept the illegal operations and enforce the law. The French authorities started the program 2 years ago to deal with operations that illegally took Patagonian toothfish from waters around a French territory in the southern Indian Ocean. The toothfish yields a big profit on the black market, and it's being depleted by illegal operations. French fishing boats were licensed to take 6,000 or 7,000 tons of toothfish from the territorial waters every year. According to some estimates, illegal fishing took 6 times more than that. The French government worked with a satellite company known as CLS. Antoine Mont-Saint-Jean works with CLS. He says land-based radar was not sufficient for law enforcement around the remote Kerguelen Islands.
You need a radar that can see, first of all, that can see at night, also through the clouds, and on a long range, and only satellite can do that.
Mont-Saint-Jean says the company relied on 2 different satellites. One was used by Canada to track icebergs. The other was used by the European Space Agency to monitor oil spills.
It very often happens that when you launch a satellite, you launch it for one given purpose, and then you discover later that it can be used for something else.
In this case, the strategy paid off immediately. In July of 2004, the satellites detected a vessel that was in French waters illegally. The Navy sent a patrol boat to track it down and fire a warning shot across its bow. The approach worked. Last year, the French government reported that the surveillance system has cut illegal fishing by 90%. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've heard the saying, you get what you pay for, and it's true, especially when you're building. Terry Mosteller of Lumberton, Mississippi knows it for a fact. She called to report her General Steel building is still standing and looks as good as the day it was built, even after Hurricane Katrina destroyed or severely damaged nearly every other building in town. We salute those who were affected by the recent hurricanes as they rebuild and take pride in knowing that our buildings stand up to the ultimate test. When it comes to your building project with General Steel, you do get what you pay for.
General Steel is offering rebates right now up to $20,000. Call now for details. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. Call 24/7 for your free General Steel quote. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
What a wonderful, wonderful world this could be. What a wonderful, 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 wonderful world.
Especially if you're a member of the Bush dynasty. For example, First Lady Barbara, former First Lady Barbara Bush, donated an undisclosed amount of money to the Bush-Clinton-Katrina fund that her husband was out stomping for, and presumably got a nice tax break for it. However, she specified that the money had to be spent with an educational software company, this from the Houston Chronicle, an educational software company owned by her son, Neil. Former President Bush chief of staff said Mrs. Bush wanted to do something specifically for education and specifically for the thousands of students flooding to the Houston schools. She knew that HISD, the Houston School Department, I assume, was using the software program. This is the software that's owned by George Bush's brother, Neil, Barbara's son. And she's very excited about this program, so she wanted to make it possible for them to expand the use of this program. Yeah, Houston Independent School District. Yes, I'll make a tax-deductible donation. Sure, no problem. As long as my son gets it. This is where you end up with in this culture of corporatization, of privatization, and greed that the Bushies have brought us and the cons have brought us, is just this absolute. At a certain point you run out of words to describe it that don't sound like you're complaining. It's mind-boggling, you know, to quote Lou Dobbs. And there was a time when we pointed these things out. As Helen Thomas points out to Wolf Blitzer, you know, Wolf, there was a time when you used to ask the hard questions, too. And he says, well, yeah, but that was a different time. Well, actually, I shouldn't characterize Wolf. Here's Helen and Wolf.
I sat in those briefings for a long time together. Helen, I hope you're around.
You ask very tough questions.
Well, I'm trying to do the best I can, like you.
You asked President Clinton why he wouldn't resign.
Oops. I asked him some tough questions, but that's another time, and this is another story.
Yeah, that was just another time, and this is another story. And Russ Feingold, of course, last night on The Daily Show, just speaking truth to power here. This guy, he doesn't stop. It is just so great that Russ Feingold is out here doing this.
I was taught that it's the Congress that makes the laws, and the president's supposed to sign them, and he's supposed to enforce them. He's not just supposed to make them up. And on this illegal wiretapping, he apparently just decided that he didn't like things the way they were and made up his own law. I don't think we can let him get away with that. So I think it's a pretty mild step to say by a resolution, Mr. President, you did the wrong thing. How about admitting it? Maybe apologize.
Well, how about admitting it and maybe apologizing? The day that you'll get an admission of guilt or an apology out of a Bush is the day is the day that the burning bushes are talking to us. It's Larry in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Larry, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, Larry. You
are on the air. Hey, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Thanks for running that bit on the election machines. I wanted to get into, thanks again for the heads up on the Jackson Brown Lives in the Balance. That's an excellent video.
Yeah, it is. I linked to it off my homepage because I thought it was absolutely brilliant. But if you just go to jacksonbrown.com, that's the best source for it. He's got a bunch of other stuff there, plus his music, which is he's one of the most gifted musicians of certainly, I think, of our generation.
Absolutely. He's got some good protest music. On to gold. I'm not sure whether or not the recent decrease in prices is showing what's going on at the world's largest gold mine in Papua New Guinea, that there's a big protest going on right now by the residents of the region. The Legislative House and Papua People's Assembly are firm that the Freeport-McMoRan mine shut down.
This has been going on for quite some time, though, hasn't it, Larry?
What's that?
This has been going on for quite some time, hasn't it?
Well, March the 2nd was the date of the Interpress Service News Agency report on this particular incident here, 300 demonstrators. Anyway, they say that there's ecological crimes by destroying the land and the environment,
right.
Tax crimes. And just today there was a report from there that the huge tailings, the residue left over from extracting the gold and copper from the mine collapsed onto a cafeteria, killing four people. So,
But this, given that this is one of the largest mines in the world, it's still a small percentage of worldwide gold production.
That's true.
And certainly gold, worldwide gold reserves. I mean, you've got Russia sitting on mind-boggling amounts of gold. You've got the Saudis sitting on a mind-boggling amounts of gold. China has legalized the individual local ownership of gold just in the last year or so, which I suspect has had something to do with the rise in price.
Well, I think what the locals are trying to do there is point out that there's a huge robbery going on. They're channeling
in Papua New Guinea,
97% of the concentrates of gold and copper out through a pipeline, taken to sea and gone without any reporting being done for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, America using Indonesia as a colony.
Well, is this an American company? I know the biggest gold mines in the United States are Canadian.
This one, the Freeport McMoRan, is a United States miner.
I see. Interesting. Well, okay. Yeah. And interesting story. I didn't know. And learn something new every day. Larry, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. It's good to hear from you. We'll see how this thing all shakes out. We are, as they say, we're living in interesting times, the old Chinese curse. We really are living in interesting times. I mean, George Bush running the economy into the ditch, running the environment into the ditch. There's all this doublespeak out here. Yes, we've got the Clear Skies Initiative. We're friendly to labor. And at the same time, the American people starting to wake up. I think it's a good and healthy thing. Waking up faster and faster. And waking up here as well. Don't forget, my friends, you have the power. We'll be back after the news at the top of the hour right here on the radio home of democracy, the No Boring Zone, the Tom Hartman radio program.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball. And now XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every Major League Baseball team all season long. And XM has America's largest playlist, including commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. Follow your favorite team with XM. Listen large. Price after mail-in rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
Hi, my name is Millie. I have been fighting my weight for many years, and after trying nearly everything, I had basically given up. After hearing an inspirational radio commercial about a mother from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, I was empowered to try it. Since taking H57, I have more energy, and most importantly, I feel beautiful. When I pass by a mirror, I can't help but smile. Join me. Call now.
H57 Hoodia is available at GNC, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and other fine retailers, or call toll-free 877-H57-DIET today.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. Without firing a shot, U.S. and British troops have freed three Christian peace activists in rural Iraq, ending a four-month hostage drama in which an American among that group was shot to death and dumped on a Baghdad street. The hostages were being held in a house in western Baghdad, and the operation to free the Canadian and British captives was based on information from a man captured by U.S. forces only 3 hours earlier, according to U.S. military spokesman Major General Rick Lynch.
There were no kidnappers in the area. You know, as we study who could conduct these kinds of operations, this seems to be a kidnapping cell that has been robust over the last several months in conducting these kind of kidnappings.
Lynch also said military operations concerning other hostages were ongoing. Still missing is Jill Carroll, a freelance writer for the Christian Science Monitor, kidnapped January 7th in Baghdad. She has appeared in three videotapes. When asked whether he had any information about Carroll, Major General Lynch said none that I can discuss at this time. Meanwhile, at least 56 Iraqis died Thursday in violence, including a car bombing that killed 25 people in the third major attack on a police jail facility in 3 days. In an unusual move, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has telephoned Afghan President Hamid Karzai, seeking a favorable resolution of the case of an Afghan man on trial for his life after converting from Islam to Christianity. Rice evidently did not demand specifically that his trial be halted and the defendant released. Rice's spokesman Sean McCormick said, in deference to the country's sovereignty, this is clearly an Afghan decision. They are a sovereign country. Still, Rice's direct appeal to a foreign leader about a proceeding in his country is an unusual move. President Bush is calling for a civil debate over immigration policy as Congress prepares for a showdown on the issue.
When we conduct this debate, it must be done in a civil way. It must be done in a way that brings dignity to the process. It must be done in a way that doesn't pit one group of people against another.
Bush wants Congress to create a worker program under which participants could gain legal status for a specific time and then be required to return home. It would not provide an automatic path to citizenship. I'm Mark Shearer, and you are listening to Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by the members of the National Association of Realtors. Thinking about buying or selling a home? Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
You know, people pay as much as $48 for a pound of gourmet coffee, as much as $150 for a diet pill. Well, what if we combine the two into a great-tasting coffee that guarantees you'll lose weight? Well, we have, and it's called Slim Cafe. A combination of 7 safe and effective diet ingredients blended into a gourmet coffee. This 28-ounce bag of Slim Cafe is a 45-day supply. Simply replace your coffee with ours and watch those pounds fade away. And if you don't lose 5 or 10 pounds, well, return it for a full refund, no questions asked. Get started on your own weight loss program by calling toll-free now. You'll get a 45-day supply of delicious Slim Cafe for only $39.95. And remember, if you don't start losing pounds, return it for a full refund. Call now and start your day with Slim Cafe. Call toll-free right now, 1-800-399-6220. That's 1-800-399-6220. Call now, 1-800-399-6220.
Tired of having people repeat and repeat what they are saying? Louder and louder so you can hear? In those embarrassing moments with the new Amplier 2005, so small and powerful you won't believe the difference. Amplier 2005 is so reliable, over 100,000 are in use nationwide. Hear even faint phone conversations with ease. Enjoy your favorite TV show, the theater, sporting events, and family functions without straining to hear. Amplier is fully adjustable, fits both men and women, and is nearly invisible. Results are so effective, they're 100% guaranteed or your money back. Not $79 or $39. Order your Amplier 2005 today for only $19.95. You'll also receive 5 extra batteries, a cleaning brush, and 3 custom fit earpieces absolutely free with your order. Call 1-800-841-7878. Never apologize again for not being able to hear. Order now and get a second Amplier 2005 for only $14.95. Our operators are standing by. Call 1-800-841-7878 today. That's 1-800-841-7878. Order your Amplier and hear even a whisper.
This is Vilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us the plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site, at www.ecowine.com.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. What is happening to privacy in the United States of America? Part of this, I think, you know, has to do with this whole con idea of privatize everything. The Internal Revenue Service, this is from Knight Ridder Newspapers, article by Jeff Gels. The Internal Revenue Service is quietly moving to loosen the once inviolable privacy of federal income tax returns. Now, this hit the news big yesterday afternoon. The IRS portraying these changes as house cleaning needed to update outmoded regulations. However, here's where it gets really weird. I mean, this is like right out of the Bush administration. The news release that told the story of this was titled, and I have to say, I'm not making this up.
I'm not making this up.
No, neither one of us are. The IRS news release was titled, IRS Issues Proposed Regulations to Safeguard Taxpayer Information. But, you know, this is the privatization of everything. There's nothing more that we should collectively own. There is no commons. There is no public property. And it's all, you know, we should just hand it all over to corporations, including your tax returns. It's a commodity. You and I are commodities. This is the bottom line. This administration, these cons, they view us as commodities. They view us as things to be bought and sold. Our personal information, our medical histories, our medical needs, our food needs, everything, it's a commodity to be bought and sold. And commodity to be well regulated? That's not quite the right word. They want to be sure that we're under their thumbs appropriately. John Roberts, Antonin Scalia, Clarence Thomas, the Reich Wing 3, standing up to the other five members of the Supreme Court yesterday, or day before yesterday, I guess it was, saying that, if the police show up at your house and they don't have a search warrant, and you say, no, you can't come in, and your spouse is standing next to you, or your friend, or a police informer, or your kid, or your talking dog, or whatever, and says, oh, sure, come on in. Well, according to John Roberts, no problem. See, this is part of the rolling back of, frankly, of America. We had the economic transformation of America by Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt transformed it. He saved capitalism from itself. And the con, you know, with minimum wage laws, with the 1935, the passage of the Wagner Act to guarantee that you have the right to unionize and participate in a union, with unemployment insurance, by creating Social Security, by laying the foundations for what has later on became Medicare and Medicaid. But, you know, just a whole series of progressive reforms that Franklin Roosevelt participated in. Well, they're going after that, the economic stuff from the 30s.
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
So they're doing that. And then in the 60s, I remember when I was a kid, you know, as a teenager in the 1960s, I remember these billboards. We would drive across the countryside in Michigan, and you see these billboards that say, impeach Earl Warren. And usually down at the bottom it was tagged, you know, the John Birch Society, I think, was paying for most of them. But it wasn't just a John Birch Society thing. Because Earl Warren was a champion of the liberal ideal that was put forward by Jefferson and Washington. And frankly, I'd say our first seven presidents, with the exception of John Adams, certainly by the founders and certainly by the framers, that you are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And that government, as George Washington said, government can be a flame that burns. Now, you would think that this is conservative language, to try to restrain the power of government. Because the conservatives have historically said that they're opposed to the power of government. Really what they're saying is that they're opposed to the power of government when it conflicts with corporate interests, or when it conflicts with the interests of inherited wealth. But when the power of government conforms to corporate interests or conforms to the interests of inherited wealth of a conservative elite, then they're in favor of government being larger and stronger and more powerful. And that was on display absolutely clearly this week in this decision that came down from the Supreme Court, this 5-3 decision. As Jess Braven wrote in the Wall Street Journal, Chief Justice John Roberts led the three dissenters, reflecting his longstanding deference to police. The opinions recall debates that have marked the court since the 1950s, when under Chief Justice Earl Warren, it began imposing rules to deter police misconduct. Justice Samuel Alito sat out because the case was argued before his confirmation, but he has written elsewhere of his disagreement with Warren court criminal procedure cases. In other words, this would have been a 5-4 decision if Alito had been sitting in on the original arguments in this case and therefore had ruled, which means that if George W. can add one more hard right winger to this court, your and my presumption of innocence, your and my protections under the Constitution of the United States will be totally toast. People are concerned about, what about abortion rights? Yes, Fourth Amendment privacy rights, but really it's part of a larger picture. Justice Souter wrote for the majority, the slim majority, the one-vote majority. There is no common understanding that one co-tenant can prevail over the express wishes of another, he said. Few visitors would enter a house at one occupant's invitation when a fellow tenant stood there saying, stay out. In other words, he's saying, it's just common sense. If I come over and knock on my neighbor's house and my neighbor and his wife answer the door and he says, come on in, and his wife says, oh, no, please don't come in. House is a mess. I don't want you in here now. What am I going to do? What's a reasonable person going to do? They're going to say, I'll come back later. That's okay. And Souter, points out that the Fourth Amendment is quite clear, that we have an assumption of, my home is my castle. The Georgia Supreme Court in this case, this case of Randolph versus the state of Georgia. Georgia Supreme Court had ruled that the search violated the Fourth Amendment. This was a search where the police showed up at this house, and this woman says, come on in, my husband's using cocaine, and you can see the stuff in the back room, and he's saying, no, don't come in. And they went in. Okay. The Georgia Supreme Court says, no, this violates the Fourth Amendment, which bars unreasonable searches and seizures of persons, houses, papers, and effects. There are obviously reasonable exceptions to prevent imminent harm. In other words, you see somebody in the commission of a crime, somebody's beating somebody up, somebody clearly is, or if the party consents. Those are the exceptions. The constant element is the great significance given to widely shared social expectations, said Justice Souter. But Chief Justice Robert, he says that by upholding this, By the 5-3 majority, what would be 5-4, had Alito listened in on the original pleadings in this case. That the court has created constitutional law. In other words, he's saying that this is an activist court that seeks to protect people from the power of the police without a warrant. He wrote, if an individual shares information, papers, or places with another, and this is how this links back to this whole, the IRS is saying, we can now, you know, sell your information, or, you know, H&R Block or anybody else can. He says, this is Justice Roberts writing from the bench, Chief Justice of the United States. If an individual shares information, papers, or places with another, he assumes the risk that the other person will in turn share access to that information or those papers or places with the government. Whoa. This is absolutely spooky, my friends. It's all about the right. 16 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AliveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Instead of recognizing the obvious, that global warming is fast reaching the tipping point where it becomes irreversible and disastrous, the Bushites continue to keep their heads up the tailpipes and smokestacks of the industries pumping out the greenhouse gases that cause the unnatural warming. So, we're doomed, right? Not necessarily. While Washington foolishly fiddles, officials at the state level have been springing into action. Unlike the White House, state leaders are up close and personal with the effects of global warming, ranging from declines in the production of some crops to having to plan for rising sea levels along their coastlines. So these officials have gotten serious about restricting the amount of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases coming out of vehicle tailpipes, which is the second largest and fastest growing source of global warming gases. California has been in the lead and has now adopted a rule requiring that 10 years from now, cars and trucks there must have technology in place reducing the emission of these gases by 30%. Oh, scream the automakers. This will cause marketplace chaos. Car sales will cease. The sky will fall. The industry is refusing to support any restrictions on tailpipe emissions of carbon dioxide, instead rushing to court to stop the California rule and require that only the federal government can regulate these gases. Of course, that would maintain the status quo of do-nothingism. One environmental lawyer, noting that the whole world is moving to stop such emissions, says, we are going to become the dumping ground for the dirtiest cars made in the world. China will have more stringent standards than the U.S. in 2010. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, 8 states from Connecticut to Oregon have also adopted the California rule. To help get your state moving, call the Union of Concerned Scientists, 617-547-5552.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
Lie down, people. Lay down your Bill of Rights. Tell James Madison we had to let those amendments go. The opium crop was blown away. Let them poppies grow. Thanks to U.S. troops, it's back today. Only goes to show.
And welcome back, my friends. 21 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, place where reason is our lifestyle choice. Our guest in this segment, Cosmic Comic Swami Beyond Ananda. His website, wakeuplaughing.com. Swami, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you.
I should add, you are the author of Swami for President, P-R-E-C-E-D-E-N-T, a seven-step plan to heal the body politic and cure electile dysfunction. Last time you told us that people are starting to wise up, so how's the upwising going?
Well, I'll tell you, everywhere I go, I see people wising up to the occasion. They're looking at, people are looking at this bleak and very unfamiliar landscape and saying, you know, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, Toto. And they're waking up to realize that a deadly twister, and in this case it's a twister effect, has swooped the entire country up and dropped us off in some undisclosed location behind the irony curtain.
Behind the irony curtain?
Yes, yes, but thank you. Thanks to programs like yourself, your own program, which I call Radio Free America, the irony curtain is being penetrated, and those people who are hungry for the truth, they can still get some nourishment. And now I'm finding that more and more people are waking up to realize that maybe we're not in Iraq to keep the peace. Maybe that we're there to keep the pieces.
Yeah, the conservatives are certainly waking up. Bruce Bartlett, former Reaganite, I spoke with him a week or so ago. He's come out with a new book called Imposter, How George W. Bush Bankrupted America and Betrayed the Reagan Legacy.
Yes, and wasn't there just a neocon, one of the guys who wrote the Project for New American Century statement a few years ago? He's now disowning the Iraq policy. What's his name? Francis somebody.
Yeah, Fukuyama.
What? Fukuyama? Can you say that on radio?
I think we just did, yeah.
Oh, okay. But look, when a neocon really apologizes, what does that tell us?
Let's see. Neocontrition?
Oh, very good. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, you put the words right in, actually. I must be channeling you now. Anyway, I'm sure our listeners are wondering how we can take advantage of this waking up and wising up to strengthen the body politic.
Well, you know, the first step is to break through the soundless barrier, and that means speaking up, because there's absolutely no reason to be part of the silenced majority. And you know what, people? You'll be surprised at who agrees with you.
The military personnel? I mean, according to a recent Zogby poll, 72% of soldiers in Iraq say we should be making plans to leave.
Yes, and meanwhile, our fearless leader has promised to fight to the death. Their death, that is.
Yeah, stay the course.
Yes, well, the problem is we've already flunked the course. Our leaders get an F. The ruling class has flunked ruling class.
Well said.
So maybe we should overrule the rulers.
Well, there's nobody left to do it but we the people.
Well, we are indeed the leaders we've been waiting for. So I say it's time to declare a state of emergency. Not emergency, we've already had that, but this is emergency.
S-E-E.
Yes, and emerge from the fear and the apathy and see that we're all in this together and that we the people are bigger than any superpower. Because the power of the people combined with the power of love, that is a super-duper power. And anybody who doesn't think so has been super duped.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better, Swami. In fact, I don't think I could have said it at all. George W. Bush now says we can expect to be in Iraq. And I'm not, frankly, I'm not even sure he intended to say this or say it the way it came out. But it's pretty clear what he's saying is we're going to be in Iraq at least until he leaves office. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's great news. It really will speed up the entire impeachment process. So that means that anybody who wants us to be out of Iraq by the end of the year, that doesn't give us much time for a grassroots impeachment. Because, you know, I've said this before, if you want to really launch the evolution, the first step, fire the first big shot.
There you go. Now, I heard a rumor that Republicans are getting into hip-hop.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You know, in fact, Jack Abramoff and Tom DeLay, they're raising money for their legal defense, and they're doing a cover version of It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Yeah. And Bush letting Helen Thomas ask him a question. Is this a newfound courage, or did he just, you know, were they adjusting his meds or something?
Well, you know, I think this is a courageous step because, you know, I think he's finally realized that the best defensiveness is a good offensiveness. And instead of just fielding these softball questions from friendly supporters, the president is bravely stepping out, facing his critics, and lying to them directly.
Yeah, right to their faces. And to us all at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
How long can he continue this?
Well, you know what? I think he will continue it as long until the actual leadership, and I use that term loosely, of the Democratic Party steps up and points out that those are the naked emperor's buttocks.
There you go. Yeah. And Russ Feingold has just done that, as has John Conyers. And let's hope both of them get a whole lot more traction. Swami Beyond Ananda, wakeuplaughing.com. Thank you, Swami.
Namaste. Namaste. Goodbye.
Okay. Talk to you later. 27 minutes past the hour.
This is Vasilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us the plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
If you have federal student loans and are unhappy with your current lender, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. Yes, you now have options, even if you have previously consolidated your student loans. So if you are looking for fast, friendly customer service and valuable benefits from one of the nation's leading student loan providers, call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. And by calling now, you may be eligible for up to a $2,000 cash rebate. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball, and now XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every Major League Baseball team all season long, and XM has America's largest playlist, including commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. Follow your favorite team with XM. Listen large. Price after mail and rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
Clint Burleson, president of the Olympia Washington local of the American Postal Workers Union, says that a major national U.S. mail hub consolidation will outsource good union jobs and will also degrade first-class mail service. The Postal Rate Commission is meeting on the issue on Friday.
Our rates are going up because of the discounts going to them, and our service is going to be going down because of the discounts to them. And they don't care about that, and so people need to care about that.
Burleson says about 250 postal facilities nationwide will be closed or consolidated if this plan goes forward. He says the result will be slower first-class mail service for individuals and small businesses. Large advertisers will get discounts. Good union jobs will also be lost, Burleson says, and that hurts working families in general.
I can do this because I'm union covered. I'm protected. I have, you know, protection to be able to use my voice. If I was a private sector worker trying to make these arguments, I'd be fired. At-will employment. So the union contract is not only good for wages and benefits, but it's also good for voice. It allows me to participate in the society as well I should without fear of being fired.
A Kansas bill that would have allowed businesses to lower workers' compensation based on previously unknown health conditions of employees was vetoed by Governor Kathleen Sebelius Tuesday. The bill would have allowed doctors to determine if the injured worker had a condition that may not have been previously diagnosed. If so, the business would have been able to reduce workers' compensation payments. It's unlikely that there will be an override of the veto, as the bill only received 67 of the 84 votes needed in the House. Nurses protesting staffing levels is a growing fight across the country, and Mercy Medical Center in Springfield, Massachusetts, is the newest battlefield. Nurses at the center took to the picket lines on Tuesday, protesting staffing levels that they say endangers the health of patients. Representatives of the Massachusetts Nurses Association said nurses are often faced with assisting 10 patients during a shift, while medical research shows an increase in death and injury when nurses care for more than 4 patients during a shift. The union says the disagreement over staffing levels has stalled contract negotiations.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. The aerospace industry posted another record trade surplus last year, one of the few U.S. industries to sell more items abroad than foreign companies send to the U.S. The trade balance rose to nearly $40 billion, a 28% jump. Most U.S. industries suffered a gigantic trade deficit, amounting to an overall $720 billion imbalance, equivalent to more than 6% of total U.S. goods and services. As the aerospace industry flexes its muscle, it not only bolsters its business, but the entire economy.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us the plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartmann Program.
Support group bought by and for we the people of the United States of America.
Now, behind enemy lines.
Yes, the GOP is at it again. Just got this email from Ken Melman. The rather strange character, Ken Melman, but that's a whole other topic. In any case, here, Dear Thomas, he writes me. This is what I get for my $5 annual contribution to the GOP. One of these days, I tell you, one of these days, somebody is going to issue a news release going, Hartmann is actually a contributor to the Republican Party. Yes, I'll tell you right now in advance, once a year I send them $5. And the reason why is because I know all the junk they're going to send me costs them more than $5, and I get some pretty cool junk. I've gotten opportunities to have my photograph taken with George W. Bush if I just want to give a $5,000 contribution. I have had invitations to be part of his insider circle. I get these private emails from Ken Melman, me and, you know, probably another 10 million other people. Anyhow, here, dear Thomas, the word is out. Their position is clear. Last week, Senator Russ Feingold floated a reckless plan to censure the president and some Democrat leaders. See, he can't even say the actual name of the party. This is how, apparently, you know, Ken Melman didn't go to school. I think some of these people in the GOP actually never studied civics, and they don't realize that it's the Democratic Party, not the Democrat Party. There's no such thing as a Democrat Party. Anyhow, and some Democrat leaders have ecstatically jumped on Feingold's bandwagon. And if they gain even more power in November, they won't stop there. Feingold says the censure actually represents moderation and calls the terrorist surveillance program an impeachable offense.
Terrorist surveillance program?
Oh, that's right. That's what they call it when the president breaks the law. You know, Bill Clinton could have come up with a name for this. Something like, you know, the Presidential Entertainment Program. I don't know. I'm sure some of our... We should have asked the Swami. He could have come up with something. What would be the description for, in any case, when the president... Dick Durbin, back to Ken Melman. Dick Durbin, the number two Democrat in the Senate, fails to rule out impeachment if Democrats retake Congress. Iowa Democrat Tom Harkin is talking high crimes and misdemeanors. And 31 House Democrats are calling for a committee to look into impeachment. Their leader, John Conyers, who would become House Judiciary Committee Chairman under Democrat control. The Democrats' plan for 2006. Now, keep in mind, I'm reading to you from a letter that I received this morning from the chairman of the Republican National Committee. The Democrats' plan for 2006, take the House and Senate and impeach the president. With our nation at war, is this the kind of Congress you want? If your answer is a resounding no, I need you to make an urgent contribution to help us win this fight.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, you know, Ken Melman... What can you say? In what Washington insiders believe is an attempt to mend fences with an increasingly contentious White House press corps, writes Andy Borowitz over at BorowitzReport.com. Vice President Dick Cheney today invited veteran journalist Helen Thomas on a quail hunting trip to Texas. Mr. Cheney said in an official statement at the White House, I would like to extend an invitation to Helen to join me on a quail hunting trip to the Armstrong Ranch. It will be a chance for the two of us to spend some quality time together. Vice President's invitation took many Beltway observers by surprise, coming as it did only one day after a heated exchange at a White House press conference between Ms. Thomas and President George W. Bush. But Ms. Thomas, never one to shrink from an opportunity, said today that she would be glad to join the Vice President quail hunting in Texas so long as the Pentagon provided body armor for her first. At the Pentagon, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld said he was taking Ms. Thomas's request for body armor very seriously, but warned that the Pentagon has been plagued by production delays. The earliest, he said, we could fit Helen Thomas with body armor would be the spring of 2009, right after the elections. Ms. Thomas said she was considering other protective measures, such as wearing a quail outfit. She said, if I look like a quail, there's no way Cheney will hit me. So, yeah, no, it's Andy Borowitz. It's all good fun. We were talking before the Swami came on about this whole issue of privatization and the big brotherization of the United States. Is it a corporate fascism? Is it a kind of brown-shirted fascism? Is it a theocracy, a religious form of fascism that we should be most concerned about? Just looking at some of the news today, the New York Daily News. New York Daily News, an article by Allison Gindar and Michael Saul. The New York Police Department is installing 505 surveillance cameras around the city, authorities revealed yesterday, recording high-quality images. The NYPD is also testing audio sensors. They're using $9.1 million in Homeland Security funds. They're also looking at putting in computerized license plate readers. In Kansas, you get pulled over by the police. Get ready to show your license, registration, and fingerprints. If you're stopped by the police in Kansas, don't be surprised if the officer pulls out a little black box and takes your fingerprints. This is part of a $3.6 million upgrade to the Kansas Bureau of Investigation statewide fingerprint database called the Automatic Fingerprint Identification System. And it gets stranger. Hunter Thompson in 2000. Maureen Farrell writes over at BlizzFlash.com. Hunter Thompson, November 20, 2000. He says, "We are living in dangerously weird times now. Smart people just shrug and admit they're dazed and confused. The only ones left with any confidence at all are the new dumb. It is the beginning of the end of the world as we knew it. Doom is the operative ethic." Well, actually, you consider 34% of Americans think that George W. Bush is doing a good job. 34%. 45% of Americans now believe, according to Kevin Phillips in his new book, American Theocracy, and surveys that were done that are quoted in that book, 45% of Americans now believe that the Antichrist is on earth. In other words, we're living in the last days. As Bill Moyers wrote, "One of the biggest changes in politics in my lifetime is that the delusional is no longer marginal. It has come in from the fringe to sit in the seat of power in the Oval Office and in Congress." Former GOP strategist, this is Kevin Phillips. He says, "A lot of Americans have stopped worrying about the economy because they're waiting for the second coming." He said this to Lou Dobbs the other day. Madonna, March of 2006, reported that Madonna, she's trying to buy a house overlooking the Sea of Galilee because that's where the Messiah is going to return. I kid you not. There's somebody had a house with $500,000 there. She was, "I'll take any house. They want $1 million for it." Will she pay? We don't know yet. As Glenn Shearer pointed out in Grist magazine, floods, droughts, oceans turning to acid. Oddly enough, some actually welcome such trouble. Many Christian fundamentalists, he notes, feel that concern for the future of our planet is irrelevant because it has no future. They believe we're living in the end time when the Son of God will return, the righteous will enter heaven, and sinners will be condemned to eternal hellfire. You know, Ellen White thought this back in, what was it, 1879 or 1897? Somewhere back then, in the later part of the 19th century, when Ellen White took a merry band of followers up to the top of a mountain someplace in the Midwest, I forget where, it's been many years since I read the history of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and stood up there and waited for the end. Predicted the day, and it didn't come. And she was able, successfully, to keep that cult going and turn it into a relatively mainstream religion now, the Seventh-day Adventists. But it was so much, I mean, there was so much millennial stuff going on in the late 19th century. Once again, people, desperation, out of crisis. Left Behind series co-author Reverend Tim LaHaye, the political activist Rolling Stone dubbed Reverend Doomsday, reportedly played a quiet but pivotal role in putting George W. Bush in the White House. He shares the same end times theology, this Maureen Farrell's piece, as the Islamofascists were trying to neuter. As far as the imminent apocalypse is concerned, they're on the same page as the mullahs in Tehran, says Andrew Sullivan of America's Fundamentalists, just in case you were sleeping soundly at night. Now, keep in mind, the Shia faction of Islam also has an end times belief that the ninth imam or the 12th imam, that one of the imams is going to return. White House now consulting with end-time zealots before setting policy. National Security Council's top Middle East aide consults with apocalyptic Christians eager to ensure American policy on Israel conforms with the sectarian doomsday scenarios, wrote Rick Perlstein. Ronald Reagan, Secretary of the Interior, James Watt, of course, saying, we don't have to worry about depleting our natural resources, that the end of the world is coming. Casper Weinberger, time is running out. Frank Zappa on Crossfire. In fact, when we come back we're going to hit a break here in just a second. When we come back from this, I'm going to play for you Frank Zappa talking about this 20 years ago. And now you've got Senator Brownback, Sam Brownback, whose rent is subsidized by a secretive religious organization called the Fellowship, Dominionists, Christian Reconstructionists, people who call for the universal development of biblical theocratic republics. They want to replace the Constitution with the Bible, and he has introduced a piece of legislation year after year, and just got reintroduced again, called the Constitution Restoration Act. that would do the same thing for the United States Constitution that Afghanistan has for the Afghan Constitution. In the Afghan Constitution, you could put somebody to death if they convert to Christianity because Islamic law rules, and Brownback wants to have it in the United States that Christian rule will rule. So what, are we going to start putting people to death for getting divorced? For blaspheme? 45 minutes past the hour.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
French authorities are hunting down pirate fishing boats from space. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. French authorities are cracking down on illegal fishing by tracking down pirate fishing boats from space. They use satellites to spot the pirate vessels, and then they send patrol boats to intercept the illegal operations and enforce the law. The French authorities started the program 2 years ago to deal with operations that illegally took Patagonian toothfish from waters around a French territory in the southern Indian Ocean. The toothfish yields a big profit on the black market, and it's being depleted by illegal operations. French fishing boats were licensed to take 6,000 or 7,000 tons of toothfish from the territorial waters every year. According to some estimates, illegal fishing took 6 times more than that. The French government worked with a satellite company known as CLS. Antoine Mont-Saint-Jean works with CLS. He says land-based radar was not sufficient for law enforcement around the remote Kerguelen Islands.
You need a radar that can see, first of all, that can see at night, also through the clouds, and on a long range, and only satellite can do that.
Mont-Saint-Jean says the company relied on 2 different satellites. One was used by Canada to track icebergs. The other was used by the European Space Agency to monitor oil spills.
It very often happens that when you launch a satellite, you launch it for one given purpose, and then you discover later that it can be used for something else.
In this case, the strategy paid off immediately. In July of 2004, the satellites detected a vessel that was in French waters illegally. The Navy sent a patrol boat to track it down and fire a warning shot across its bow. The approach worked. Last year, the French government reported that the surveillance system has cut illegal fishing by 90%. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier. Tell him you don't want to pay for the product. You just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if, you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it? Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they will send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of the Smoke-Free capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules, just in case you are worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Smoke-Free. Call 1-800-684-5908. That's 1-800-684-5908. This is a limited-time offer, so call 1-800-684-5908 now.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It's closing time.
bellies with acid and the Holy Spirit's crying, where's the beef? And the moon is swimming naked and the summer night is fragrant with a mighty expectation of relief. So we struggle and we stagger down the snakes and up the ladder to the tower where the blessed hours chime. Then I swear it happened just like this, a song, a cry, a hungry kiss. The gates of love, they buzz, you enter, can't say much has happened since the closing time.
Indeed, and that's what the evangelicals are saying, it's closing time. Time to just wrap it up. That, by the way, Leonard Cohen, one of the five greatest poets of the 20th century. And he makes it into music on top of that. It's just absolutely incredible. When the war in Iraq began, writes Maureen Farrell, the San Francisco Chronicle ran a story entitled War in Babylon Has Evangelicals Seen Earth's Final Days, while the Washington Post subtitled one of its piece, End Time Interpreters See Biblical Prophecies Being Fulfilled. And now Sam Brownback, the senator of the Dominionists, coming out with this new act, well, not new, it's he keeps introducing this thing, the Constitution Restoration Act. It's currently being marketed by Concerned Women for America, which was founded and is headed by Tim LaHaye's wife, Beverly. Tim LaHaye, if in case you don't know, is the co-author of the best-selling books in the world, the Left Behind series. Over 45 million copies in print, as I recall. You don't see them on the bestseller list because they're considered religious books, and so the New York Times doesn't count them. But they literally are the best-selling books in the world. And Frank Zappa, 20 years ago, on the set of Crossfire, sitting there with good old Robert Novak, saw this coming. Here's Frank Zappa.
The biggest threat to America today is not communism. It's moving America toward a fascist theocracy. And everything that's happened during the Reagan administration is steering us right down that pipe.
Mr. Zappa, do you...
Now, you get this? He's talking about this started with the Reagan administration. This was the beginning of the Unholy Alliance. And by the way, it was George W. Bush Jr. It was Bush Jr. who was the connection point between the religious right and the Reagan right. Anyhow, Novak continues.
All kidding aside, in this country, with the permissiveness that we are moving toward a fascist theocracy, anything goes.
Well, we are, but,
you know, I mean, do you think things like this would ever have been permitted?
That smile again.
When we were kids, you're about my age, maybe
I'm
a little
45.
Younger. Well, I'm 55. Do you think when I was a kid that they would permit songs like that to be sold? I mean, permissiveness is the game. You're not really serious if you're saying we're going toward a fascist theocracy.
That's right, we are.
Wait a minute.
And what way? Give me one example.
One example of a fascist theocracy.
When you have a government that prefers a certain moral code derived from a certain religion, and that moral code turns into legislation to suit one certain religious point of view, and if that code happens to be very, very right-wing, almost toward Attila the Hun.
Well, then you are an anarchist. Every form of civil government is based on some kind of morality, Frank.
Morality in terms of behavior, not in terms of theology.
There you go. Frank Zappa talking to Robert Novak and I believe Fred Barnes. I may be wrong. Many years ago, 20 years ago, a theocracy. Is that what we're looking at? 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Tom in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Tom, welcome to the program.
Hi. Yeah, Zappa was prescient, wasn't he?
He really was. And his death was a great loss to prostate cancer, as I recall.
Right.
Should be a warning to all men to keep alert.
You know, today you invoked FDR a lot, and a couple callers did, and I wanted to mention a book, I don't know if you're aware of, by Cass Sunstein called The Second Bill of Rights.
I am not aware of that.
Oh, you got to get it. It's called The Second Bill of Rights, and the subtitle, FDR's Unfinished Revolution and Why We Need It More Than Ever, and it's about the greatest, he calls the greatest speech of the 20th century 3 months before FDR's death on January 11th, 1944.
Hmm.
And it's an economic bill of rights, and there's 8 rights here. But I would recommend everyone go get it. And I think, Cass Sunstein is like the most cited law professor in the U.S.
Yeah. So, again, the book is?
The Second Bill of Rights, FDR's Unfinished Revolution.
Okay.
And he just talks about, it's just a great book. And it doesn't get much airplay because, of course, our conservative climate doesn't want this sucker out there because it talks all about the economic rights and everything.
Yeah, so what was FDR's Unfinished Revolution? I'm assuming that what you're talking about his Four Wants speech. And
well, there's the Second Bill of Rights, and it was the speech on January 11th, 1944, and the first right is to a useful and remunerative job in industries or shops, blah, blah, blah. The second one, the right to earn enough to provide adequate food, clothing, and recreation. Number three, the right of every farmer to raise and sell his products at a return, which will give him and his family a decent living. Number four, the right of every businessman, large and small, to trade in an atmosphere of freedom from unfair competition and domination by monopolies at home or abroad. Number five, the right to every family to a decent home. Number six, the right to adequate medical care and the opportunity to achieve and enjoy good health. Number, seven, the right to adequate protection from the economic fears of old age, sickness, accident, and unemployment. And the last one, the right to a good education.
Brilliant, brilliant. Tom, thanks for the heads up on that.
Yeah,
I'm going to track that book down. I will do it. Thank you for the call. Coming up on the next Tom Hartman program, Congressman Bernie Sanders, the longest-serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives, our regular Brunch with Bernie segment. Tony Tripiano is going to be here. He's running for Congress in Michigan's 11th District. He's about the bigger battle, the battle for America. Jeffrey Kleinman with DVD Talk, that and more, and your calls right here on the Tom Hartman radio program. Remember, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The latest technology.